What's going on, guys? Hold on with me for a second. I got a couple of things I gotta do real quick. Hopefully this is working properly. Hopefully. Looks like it may be. So yeah, dude. Today has just been one of those days. Again, yesterday was one of those days too. I guess today is going to be that way too. Every day. That's the life of being a freight broker. All you guys that want to become freight brokers. It's a pain in the ass, man. Because a lot of people just sit and complain. Complain and complain. I've got a 24-hour notice on my my deliveries. Or, I'm sorry, 2-hour notices on all my deliveries. And I had someone that called or emailed me this morning and said, hey, listen, can't get in touch with the customer, the receiver. Can you let them know I'm coming? So I said, yep, let me email my customer. They sent me another email. I then confirmed with a customer. They said, yep, we know they're coming. They're good to go. And so I sent them in. Well, I just got a call literally right before this. Actually, I don't even need this, but this is why I had the headset on, is right before this, the lady calls and starts yelling at me because she's supposed to pre-call and it's my responsibility that the shipper's not answering the phone. Yeah, I just don't get it. Some people, this is a hand-holding job. As a broker, as a carrier, as a shipper, you're always going to need to hold someone's hand. Always, no matter what, you're always going to need it. But whatever. So, like I was saying, my name is Steve. This is my little show called Freight Broker Live. I like to make these videos and just talk about my day and all that good stuff. Here's my intro. All right. So with that said, so I'm going to start this off. So if you guys watched the other day, I was talking about factoring and I was talking about one woman that was, I guess, kind of getting scammed. Or my perception was that she was getting scammed and that they fraudulently put a UCC on her. Well, there's always more to the story. And I didn't do my due diligence, I guess. So the lady apparently forgot to let me know that she sent them an email saying, hey, I agree to all terms and I'm looking forward to working together, which to them was, hey, we're signing up. And this is after the proposal. And sent the UCC in and all that stuff. And of course, she never told me that she had sent that email. So, I kind of look like an ass now. But listen, as I said, the company before was Turnkey Authority. I don't have a problem with factoring companies. It's a necessary evil. I rep a factoring company. You guys know that. But the thing that I have a problem with is when the UCC disclosure isn't like straight up and made honestly and at what segment. Like I think there should be some uniformity to the factoring sign up, just like there should be with brokering, you know, some level of transparency where, you know, if you're signing up for a factoring company, you know that they're going to do a UCC. And if you don't know, then that's, I think that the job, the responsibility of that lies with the factoring company, who's the one that's issuing the UCC. And that's my opinion, but you know, I guess the folks over at Steelhead took offense because they said, you know, I guess it made it sound like it was a scam. To me, if you bury in one sentence on the bottom of a third page of terms and conditions, you know, that aren't readily available and that you have to confirm your read or something, it's not necessarily above board, you know, in my opinion. If you're not saying, hey, here's a UCC, you're going to have a UCC on it. As soon as you say, okay, I like your proposal, you're locked into an agreement, you know? And apparently the issue was that's not how it happened with this company. The woman that I was talking to and about sent them an email and said, hey, listen, I'm super excited. I just accepted the proposal. I agree to everything. Let's get moving, which told them, okay, she's agreed. And then they filed the UCC. And she didn't tell me that. So when I said that she didn't know that she had, you know, that she had signed a contract, that part wasn't true because she clearly did. She, you know, put it in an email. She didn't send me that email. The folks over at Steelhead did, or they didn't send me the email. They read it to me over the phone yesterday when I was talking to them. Super nice people over there. And like I said, I don't bash factoring because factoring is a necessary evil. You know, you just got to be very careful when you read your contracts and find all the little fees and everything that they put into them, you know. But that's that. Forgot to pour myself a glass of water, folks. So, but yeah, that was the first thing. And I told them I was going to do that. You know, I like I said, I still think when I think how the process of setting carriers up, setting brokers up, setting private shippers, the process of setting those companies up is super flawed right now. And that's my belief, because I think too many people are getting stuck into a long contract. I know personally I've helped companies that have had, you know, their proposal says, you know, a 1% and, you know, a 60-day or not 60-day, 6-month term. And then they get their actual agreement and the percentage is higher and the term is a year. And that happens all the time, unfortunately, but it happens all the time. God. Hold on, David. Hey, I called you. Just tell your driver to tone it down. I don't need some driver calling me, yelling at me because she can't get a hold of the shipper. This is Steve with Trinity. Your driver just called me, like, you know, saying, "Oh, I can't get a hold," and that you weren't relaying the messages weren't relaying the messages that I was sending to you. Something like that. Right, I've said it 3 times in email. Said it three different times to you, or to whoever I'm emailing, whoever's sending me the emails. The customer knows. My customer is the receiver. They know that you're coming. All right? You don't need to call. Nope. Right. And you did. You called me. All right? Right. And then you called me. You said you sent me a message this morning and I told you, hey, here's what's going on. I said, I'll let my customer know. And then I sent you another email and said, hey, you're all set. They're expecting you. And yet you're still frustrated because you can't get a hold of anyone there. You know that they're going to be there. So they know exactly because I told you that's why. It doesn't do me any benefit to lie to you. All right. Yeah. All right. For the fourth time. Fucking. All right. See, that's the problem. Some carriers, oh God, they're dumb. They're dumb. There's nothing. brokers are too. You know what I mean? I get it. They're doing their due diligence, but come on, man. That's literally the fourth time I've confirmed that the shipper knows they're coming or the receiver knows they're coming. You know, I know it says it on the Raycon, but the receiver knows. And you know what they're going to do? They're going to get there. And if the receiver says that they have to wait, they're going to end up flipping out. And I guarantee that's going to happen. And I'm very tempted to call and make them wait just because they've wasted a little bit of my time. But I'm not going to do that. That would be rude. Well, let's see what some of these comments are. James said, what's up? Molly said, yo. Don said, present. Audio good. I'm glad. Victor said, what's up? Robert said, how's it going, Steve? Teo said, what an empty office. Oh, my background. You like that? So if you can't tell, I switched to a whole different software. It's actually much smoother and cleaner, and I think it streams better. So hopefully, and then obviously I got the new microphone, so that works quite a bit. Lamar said, your work ethic is legit. How many hours do you work daily on your frame? Too many, bud. Too many. It's kind of screwy now because I've been working and not writing content and stuff for the website. And, you know, because I've either been working on freight or doing sales or, you know, working on the class that I have coming up or trying to get everything all put together for everything. We're building the website for the one guy there and putting together something for an advertising client and trying to get everything all set. It's a lot to do. But I mean, I book freight a lot, you know, that's what I do. Victor said, looking good. I agree. Lamar said, I agree some of these carriers, I'm not saying that, that's messed up, but some of them are, some of them just don't. I really firmly believe they don't use their head. I'm so tempted. If I wasn't recording this, I'd probably call my customer and say, hey, make that guy wait a little bit. just because it's annoying. It's annoying. Why call me 15 times to ask the same question over and over? It's like, you know, I say it every day in my videos. So I post my rates. Anyone who's never watched these videos before, I post my rates when I post out loads almost all the time. And the reason I do that is because I have a firm rate in it. I already know what I need to sell it for. So that's what I'm offering the rate out. I know there's not a lot of flex. It's just because of who my customer is and what type of business he runs. So I had people today, a lot of them call and just, I mean, I know the rates are relatively low. Some of them are low, but you know, when I have to school, you know what it makes me want to do? And I'll be honest, it makes me want to go back to dispatching because I realize that there's some drivers that really need help, you know, because I have some dispatchers that are dispatching trucks that don't know. You can clearly tell talking to them, they have no idea what the hell they're doing. And that's pretty funny. I don't know. It is what it is. I don't really have like a news broadcast or anything today. So I'm just going to do the Q&A. As I was saying before, we had 9 people sign up for the Patreon so far for the gift card giveaway, as I like to call it. And it's not 8 gift card, it's 3. So, and it's going to be 3 every month. First one's $100 Amazon gift card. Second one's $75 gift card. Third one is $50 gift card. So right now there's a 33% chance that if you were to sign up, you'll actually win a gift card because we have 9 people and I'm giving away 3 gift cards every month. So if you want to sign up, you can see it ticking along the bottom of the screen there, which is Freight Broker Live, or I'm sorry, it's patreon.com/Freight Broker Live, or you can go to our website and I've got a headphone string here, which you guys can't see, but it keeps like rubbing against my leg. It's annoying me. But yeah, it's FreightBrokerLive.com. And if you click on the upper left-hand corner, it says support Freight Broker Live, and you can click and do that there. And you'll win a gift card. And if you don't, then you'll get a t-shirt and a coffee mug and all sorts of whatever plan that you sign up for. And it helps me, you know, do the course. It helps me continue, you know, buying stuff to make the videos better. It'll help me do more. But yeah, that's that. Let's answer some of these questions. Molly said, do I know anything about tankers? No, I do not. The only tankers I've ever hauled were empty. Usually from like Ritchie Brothers or Iron Planet. And then we haul them as power only loads. But that's the only time I've ever done anything with tanker. So, or we did containers from the port of Newark a while ago, going up to like Buffalo. And those loads were tanker, but they weren't, you know, tankers. They were containers with, you know, fluid inside. But yeah, no, I don't have any experience with them. Lamar said, do you ever take commission deducts for shippers not paying invoices? No, because, you know, I don't work with shippers that wouldn't pay their invoice. And you know, what I found with this company is if they get like 60 days, so like if they're, you know, running 30 or 45 days past due, this company will ask me to reach out to them. And because I keep such good records, I'm able to, you know, track them down. There's no bad debt reserves or anything with this company. So I don't know what would happen if a customer was not to pay, and don't want to learn either. I've had it in previously where I was an agent, and if a customer didn't pay, yeah, they took it right out of my reserves. I don't have that. It's not set up that way here, which is nice because I don't want it to, you know, I don't want to take up the risk of getting paid because, I'm not the one qualifying the customers, the carriers. The company that I'm an agent for is the one who does all the credit checks. So it shouldn't be on me. Plus I pay them a decent commission. So. Victor said, did you have any issues getting paid as a dispatcher? And no, I didn't. And the reason I didn't have any issues getting paid as a dispatcher is when I did dispatch, I did not allow people to pay me after the load. And I would never do that. If I ever started dispatching again, it would be an upfront payment because people are shady and they just don't pay. I'd have someone that would, you know, be set on auto payments. They'd make the first couple of payments and good. And then I'd have to chase them for every other one. They'd give me a different credit card number every single time. And it is what it is. It's the nature of the business. I don't stop dispatching until like I feel like I'm not getting paid. So if I have a good relationship with a guy and he runs a couple of weeks behind and paying, I don't care. You know, that's my thing. But But back to the major talking points that I talked about. So dispatching. A lot of people don't like dispatchers, you know, and I've been doing a lot of research for this new like advertising sponsorship thing and trying. I'm figuring out later if I even want to get into this because of some things, some issues. But there's a lot. Dispatching is just like factoring. For some people, they need it. Some people need a dispatcher. And I tell you, my time in the industry, besides driving a truck, dispatching trucks was probably like the second best experience besides driving. It was dispatching, because you just feel better. You know what I mean? You're making as much money as you can for the carrier. Plus you're making, you know, money dispatching. You make plenty of money. It's the same as brokering, except instead of brokering, where I'm sitting here and a shipper needs to get something moved, they're working on a budget. Carrier needs a certain amount, and then I'm trying to make a dime as well. With dispatching, it's the broker needs to move the load. They've already made the commitment to the carrier. The carrier needs a load. So to me, it was a lot more seamless. Plus, I was able to book and make a lot of money very quickly because I had, you know, quite a few people I dispatched for. And so I recently... I can't go into it too much, but I thought about it again, because I'm like, listen, there are some weird off the wall type of dispatching programs out there. I see the guys advertising all the time, or hell, I talk to the people that are calling me every day looking to dispatch, or that are dispatching for other carriers, the little independent guys, and that really have no dispatch experience and no business dispatching, if that makes sense. You know, so if you guys are signing up for any carrier who may be watching this later, if you guys are signing up for a dispatch company, just use your feelers. Don't go paying out any of these like $250 a week, $270 a week. And people pay it, which is outrageous. You know, like I think there's a couple of companies out there that are like $100, $125, $150 maybe a week with all paperwork and all sorts of stuff. That's good, or a low percentage. Like I was telling the guy yesterday in the chat that was dispatching the six reefers for, you know, what was it, $1,200 a month? He wasn't getting a good job. He wasn't, you know, making what he should have. Sure, the carriers are making a bunch, but most likely it wasn't, because he was probably dispatching all for one company, and that owner's probably cheap and paying the drivers poorly and all that. That's just an assumption. I can't back that up because I don't know them. But dispatching is a necessity, you know, and it's not a bad business to get into. It's a lot. It's a lot easier, you know, but that's my thoughts on dispatching. I already talked about factoring, so I don't really know what else we're going to talk about with factoring, because you just got to be careful with anything, even with brokers. You just got to read your paperwork, read everything you got, you know, read your paperwork and make sure that the load confirmations match what you say. And I mean, granted, the carrier that I was just talking to annoyed the shit out of me, but they're doing their due diligence. It says on the Raycon all over the place, you must call 2 hours before you arrive. It says it all over the place. I think it's 4 times on that Raycon. It says it, big bold letters. So they were panicking because they're like, oh, we have to call. We don't want to sit and wait, blah, 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 blah. And we can't get a hold of the person. So I get that. But normally when you tell someone something once, they understand it. They don't just argue back and forth about it for the next 5 hours. But can't control everybody. But Corey said, I need help with get shipper. You need help getting a shipper as a carrier or as a broker, bud? I mean, I'm assuming you need help getting a shipper, but it's not, I don't know if I deal with that. I just got rid of a headache. So like I said, I'm cutting weight. It's making me miserable. It's super irritable, if you guys can't tell. I live in Florida. I'm wearing a god darn sweatshirt, you know. So Corey, so you're a broker and you need help getting a shipper. I mean, I talked about it in the other videos. Your best bet is to go back and watch the other videos, or the next time I do one of my free courses, jump on those. Because I'm not going to go into the whole sales aspect again, because I do. I say you qualify your customer by, you know, the first thing on doing sales is know your product, know what you're selling, know what type of trucks you're looking at or that you're going to need to move, know how to be a broker before you even try to be a broker. That's the best thing I could say. And then secondly, figure out a target market, like a niche or however the hell you say that word. Figure out a target market to approach and tackle. Don't go and say, I'm just going to take any load from anyone, because then you're just going to be doing what some people are doing, and they're working bid freight. That's all they work. They're super happy with it because they're making money, but you're not making as much money as you potentially could, and you're competing, and you don't have the customer. It's not your customer because it's bid stuff. You know, that's what the most of that lumber stuff. Like, if you call someone in the very first day, they're like, yeah, I'll add you to my load list. I won't even work on it. Load list, I don't touch. My biggest customer sends a load list out. But besides that customer, you know, I don't touch a load list because they're stepped on too many times by the time, you know, you got a broker that doesn't know what they're doing, that's going out there quoting stuff, taking loads, and the customer, it works the same way for carriers. You know, if you got a carrier that's new and or has lower operating expenses and he takes a load cheaper than what you would, and then you complain about, you know, bad freight or cheap freight and all that stuff, it's the same thing happens on the broker end. You know, it happened this morning. The customer sent me a quote. I gave him a quote. He came back and said, I need to do it for this much. I said, I can't. And that's just because I don't go back on my quotes. I quote once and that's it. Because then if you do that, customer is going to do it every single time. So I held firm with my quote. I booked the load, and then the carrier falls off the load. And I'm like, what the hell? And so I give back the load to the customer because I don't sit on it. And because it was a low enough rate, I didn't think I was going to be able to find capacity for it again. So that was my first load that I booked. And I did that at like 8:30 this morning. And then I booked another load, another little partial. Customer sent me a rate for a load. I said, sure, I can grab that because I had a carrier. I didn't check them in the system. I just figured they had an older MC there set up. Turns out, no, they were set up, but they were blocked from us because of some TIA watchdog report, which is BS too. And I'll explain that in a second. That's my opinion. But so I couldn't use them. So, and you know, I called corporate and tried to get them to release it. They wouldn't do it. So I ended up giving the shipment back to the customer and then saying, listen, the carrier is a good carrier. They just have a bad reputation with us. So you're free to work with them yourself. And I gave him the number, and I believe he booked it with them direct. And I have no problem with that either. And it should, because it helps my customer out in the long run too. But you're like I said, Corey, the best thing for you to do to get a shipper is stay focused on one like area of expertise. So if you have a natural tendency to like food, you know, target food and try to move food all the time. If you have 15 years, you know, as a contractor, work on building materials, lumber, you know, trusses, specialized like equipment, that kind of stuff, and work in that wheelhouse so you know what your customer is. So if a customer says, hey, I need you to move this, you already know what kind of trailer, you know what, you know everything off of the top of your head, and that makes it a lot easier to make the sell. And spell check your emails if you're emailing, and you know those are important parts. But those, you know, and like I said, I don't like talking about the sales in these videos, even though that's what the majority of you guys have, are questions about sales. Just I don't know. It's, I think because I do sales every day that when I go to actually have to talk about my processes, I'm like, I don't want to. You know, I'm doing sales every day, all day. But sales don't just extend with getting shippers. Once you get the shipper, you got to sell the load to the carrier. You're still selling all the time. So you're always selling. But let's see. Mike said, are there any types of freight you recommend us to try and or not to move? I know you stated you don't do produce. Yes, I don't do produce. I don't do hazmat. I don't do cross-border stuff. I don't do, that's about it. And tankers and bulk loads. I don't touch any of that stuff. It's just not in my wheelhouse. Some people make a living just doing bulk loads. Some people make a living just moving hazmat. Some people make a living just moving tanker loads and those bulk commodities. I just don't do it. It's not, I never did it. And I just, you know, even reefer stuff, I don't touch because I don't know anything about it. I'm a dry van flatbed, you know, step dick type of guy, or hot shot even. You dispatch a hot shot. I could find dispatch and make more money on hot shots than I could moving reefers just because I don't know, you know, I don't know my way around them. And it takes someone to say that, you know, it's a little bit different to hear someone that's been in the business for 15 years saying they don't touch something because they don't know it. I just don't like to. That's the type of freight that I'd stay away from. Lamar said, Did you cold call a lot when you first started? Yes and no. So like I said, I'm unique because I don't like making sales calls. I really don't, never did. And so like when I had like paid jobs where I had to do it, yeah, I would make the calls and I'd just beat up the phones and I'd sit there and when no one was looking, I'd play on YouTube and stuff like that or send emails out. Because I like sending emails better. I think it's a little bit more impersonal, but it allows me to get my message across without all the other semantics. Like I have, so like my signature in Outlook is just full of different email templates. That's how I do it. So I don't have to type the same crap over and over and I don't save a template email. It's just saved as a signature. And someone a long time ago taught me that. And so if I have like a tracking email, it's automatically a signature and I just click tracking and then I change the number that's in the email. Same with sales or if I, you know, do it online or anything like that. But that's just the way I do it. But yeah, I mean, I did make a lot of calls, a lot of cold call emails. You have to because you don't have a book of business. You know what I mean? And a lot of people hedge all their bets on the first one that calls you back, and that's not good either. You keep trying until you get a load. You know what I mean? You just keep trying to move. And don't go after those big guys. Like you, there's no one that's watching my video right now that has the resources to move big accounts. Shit, I don't even. If I move 20 loads a day as a broker, that's me fully extended throughout the day. You know, the couple of days that I don't make a video, that's because I'm just booking free and I'm too busy. And I don't have time to stop at around 12 o'clock and start getting this already with all the visuals on the screen and all that, because this takes a long time. I don't have time to do it. So, you know, and that's why a lot of times if I say, no video today, it's because I'm busy as shit and I don't have time to make a video, you know, but... let's answer some of these others. So back, I'm going to go back because there's other people watching. And if you can't tell, I keep mentioning it because it's important to me and my success and keep doing this. And like I said, I want to buy a house. So go to freightbroker.com or freightbrokerlive.com. In the upper left-hand corner, you'll see support Freight Broker Live. There you can become a patron with us. You could do a dollar. I think someone yesterday did a dollar, Ryan. That's fine. You're still entered in the drawing. You just don't get a t-shirt, a coffee mug every 3 months, you know, or you could do $5. And I forgot what the plans are. $5, 15, there's 30, you know, I got a couple of people that are doing 50. And then there's higher up for like advertising or dinners or stuff like that. Sign up. It helps me continue making content. And you'll also most likely you have a very good chance of winning a gift card because there's not a lot of people that signed up. So if you sign up and become a patron, there's a very good chance you win the gift card. Because like I said, yesterday we had 6, now we have 9. So by that math, we'll probably have 12 by tomorrow. And I'll keep plugging it until the first, really. I'll keep plugging it all the time. But you won't, unless you sign up by the first, you will not be in the drawing on the 10th. So if you sign up on the first, you won't be in the drawing for October 10th. You'll be in the drawing for November 10th because this will be a monthly thing where I just give away gift cards. And it may not always be Amazon. One day it may be a food gift card or whatever. But anyway, next question. Mike said, have you ever had success getting freight for a whole year or 6 months through bids? I see yearly bids for freight, but I don't know if it's a good idea for small brokers to do that. No, you can do it. You just got to build a really comfortable floating. All right, well, it depends. Your line haul rate has to be good. It's a tricky question because I think the only times I've ever done an RFP and an RFQ are when I'm a carrier. So it's a little bit different because I would build in the fuel surcharge as long as you didn't use a customer provided surcharge. I'd build that in and add a couple of points onto it because that would be my buffer. That would, if I had to take a dive on a load, but I'm a volume guy. So if I move 10 loads and make $100, I'll take a dive on one for $50 because I'm still up, I'm still making money. So, and the same thing goes in RFPs. You bid on the lanes that you can cover. But when you bid on that lane, you need to cover those lanes. And if you don't, a lot of times they have penalties and stuff like that. And if you don't succeed, you know, and lose the account, that'll break your company. So, but yeah, I haven't been part of any RFQs as a broker pretty much ever, really. I mean, my customer would send them out and I've attempted to build RFQs off of, you know, past loads. So, you know, I used to have a customer that shipped, you know, probably 5-6 times a week. and they were decent loads. And I asked him volume, and he's like, oh, we pretty much the same consistency 5-6 times a week. And I said, listen, if you guarantee that you're going to give me, you know, a majority of your business, I'll put together, you know, contract rates for you. And I put them together, and he didn't like them. And they were lower than what I was doing on the spot market, which didn't make sense. But he didn't want to be locked into those rates either in case the market, you know, went more towards his favor. And I get that. So, you know, and then I've done, you know, 90-day like RFQs, you know, just as a tactic for getting business, you know, where I'll go to a customer and they'll say, oh, you know, we're, our bidding period's up. And I'll say, well, send me, you know, your last 90 days freight invoices or freight spend. Let me show you how I could beat it for the next time. And I've been successful a couple of times at getting them to send me their 90 days of freight spend. Sometimes I look at it and be like, I can't touch this. You know what I mean? Some other times I'm like, yeah, I can cover these lanes. It's gotten a little bit harder because I think the market keeps going up and down and up and down. But that's I hope that's a good enough answer for you, because, you know, I don't, like I said, I don't have very much experience doing RFQs as a broker. As a carrier, we've done a bunch, and I always, my thing is, I'd always use, you use the line haul for a little bit of a buffer, but the fuel surcharge is what I always use as a buffer as a carrier. I don't know if it would work the same as being a broker, because I don't have the experience. And I've got the experience doing it in reverse, being a broker and using like a hype, you know, fake, using that same proposal style to try to get business. And it's a lot of math, and it's a lot of work, really, if you don't know what you're doing. And Jimmy said, I do, which I'm not sure what he's talking about. But yeah, we don't have a lively crowd today. You're not asking a bunch of questions. That was a horrible accent. I'm geared up to go to Ireland in 3 weeks or 4 weeks, whatever it is. So that's about it, guys. This could be a short one if we're not having a bunch of questions, you know. There's a couple others, so I'll talk about freight agents for a second, and what a freight agent is, and because I think there's some people that don't, they understand what a freight agent is, but hold on 1 second, I don't know who this is. Dispatch. I forgot what I was saying. Yeah, freight agents. I'm talking to someone on Facebook a lot recently that he's having a hard time because he has a couple of good leads on getting becoming an agent, but he doesn't have the time in to become an agent with anybody. And then there's the sub-agent thing. And I know I've thought about adding on sub-agents, but it's just so much work for me to deal with, you know, as the master agency to deal with it. It's not something I want to do. My only suggestion to you guys is don't give up. If you're looking, especially after you take the course and all that stuff, if you're not going out on your own right there, right then for finances and all that stuff, just be very, just don't give up. Just keep trying to become an agent. You'll find someone that'll do it. You just got to land that big account, but it's kind of a catch-22 because you can't land an account until you have a place to go move that freight. So, but all right, what do we got? John said, have I ever taken a load and been unable to lock in a carrier? Yes. Do the majority of the time you use the load board first? So I always use the load board. Because it's because of the type of work I have. Like, well, I actually, that's wrong. So if I book anything that's in the Northeast that can go on a like a flatbed, hotshot, step deck type trailer, I got a guy up there. So I'll call him every time. And I'll give him first crack. Half the time I use him to quote because I find that the DAT averages and truck stop averages aren't really on point. So if he gives me a quote and then I offer it to him, and if he doesn't want it, then I usually use his quote and run it to somebody else. And I do that quite a bit. And he's a good guy. So he knows that's what I'm doing. And if it works for him, it works for him, you know. And any oddball like shipments like power only or drive away moves, because those will happen occasionally, I'll just offer them to direct to him and just have him take care of it himself. You know, I could potentially, because I book so many loads now, I could make a load list and blast out my load list to each one of these carriers that have hauled freight for me before. And I used to do it. It's just, I don't, you know, it's just me booking freight now. So it's a little bit different. I had more time before. Now with me being the only one that's doing anything, I can't really do that. I have to actually book freight in order to make money. So I don't have time to build the load list out and all that. And it is a good idea. And I wonder what the ratio of coverage would be if I'd cover more. But typically when I book a load, so if it's not like a big customer, if it's a one-off shipper, when I book a load, it basically the customer will either email me for a quote or I'll email them the quote. They'll book it. I've already, if I'm the one quoting it, yes, I'm guaranteeing I'll book the load because I already book it on the certain level of, I already know I'm covering the load because I booked it at a rate that I know I can get capacity for and I don't need to give it back. I'll sit on it before I give it back and just tell the customer, listen, I quoted it. I'm going to get someone. You're going to have to wait unless you want to pay more. That's happened before too. But usually what I'll do is, especially if I know I'm going to get it because I bid on the averages so I could tell what kind of rate it's going to turn. If I bid on the averages and I know I'm going to get money, decent money for it, and the carrier is going to get paid decent, then, I'll post it out and I'll post it. And again, I post with my rates. I'm different than most because I don't want the carrier to call and say, oh, how much are you paying? $2,500. I need $3,300. If they, in their head, if they know that it says $2,500, they're going to be like, okay, it's $2,500. They're only going to call on it if they're at anywhere close to that number. If they're way above it, which they will call me, but they're going to know I'm not going to accept it. And they're certainly not going to call if I'm paying, if it just doesn't work for the truck, they're not going to do it. But all right, let's see what some of these other ones. Lamar said, do you move LTL here? Actually, I'm skipping your question for a second. Patricia. So it's OTR Capital. They do not have a YouTube channel. Well, they actually do. They do have a YouTube. If you go to OTR Capital on Facebook, you'll see a bunch of videos about employees that are talking about working there. They're a good company. If you go to my website and you click on the Partners tab, which I would prefer if you do, if you're going to sign up with them, click on the Partners tab. It'll open up and you'll see the OTR Capital logo. Click on that logo and open it up. And then it'll be a form which you can request information. And like I said, I'm a referral guy, so I get paid a referral if you sign up through my referral. That's why it's great. Or you can call and ask to speak to Anthony and mention Freight Broker Live or Steve, and he'll take care of you that way. Plus, you get a better rate if you sign up with me than what they'll normally offer you. Oh, wait, I skipped your question. Hold on. So Lamar said, do I move LTL with major carriers like FedEx, UPS, et cetera? So I used to, because I used to be an agent with Global Trans. Way back when. So I moved LTL. Pretty much that was 90% of my business when I was with Global Trans. And then I switched to the drive-in shit towards the end just because I had rebills and I lost a big customer that was doing LTL. I don't do it now and I haven't really done it. We have the capabilities of doing it, but the system is it's not as user-friendly as I want it to be for the ease of selling to shippers. So I don't... I don't really do it. I don't even make it a service offering. If I have a customer that calls and says, hey, can you move 3 pallets? Then yeah, of course, I'm going to quote it and move it that way. But I don't actively go after LTL clients because I don't have the software that I would like to have be represented by. That doesn't make sense. I'm used to selling a software where it's super user friendly and super easy for the customer to go in and look and book stuff. The system they have now, it's super great. It's got really good rates. It's just not that style of system. And so I think it would be too much of a learning curve to try to go out and again, get that business and drum up all that business while having to teach myself a whole new system and basically reteach my sales system because nothing works the same way. It's not on an app like Global Trans used to be. It's not as easy as a sell. But again, and I don't rep Global Trans. So, but that's not my car alarm because it shut off. But yeah. All right. John said, thanks on the agent. Yeah. No worries, bud. That's the whole reason I do this. I don't want people to get discouraged. Now, you guys may notice I've kind of laid back on the responding to people online thing. Or I'll answer from there, but I'm not going out of my way to respond anymore. It's for the reason yesterday. It's because a couple of people pissed me off and they're asking me for advice and doing this and doing that. And then they just, get mad at me if I don't have time to respond to them. I'm busy. I do this volunteer. This is free. You know, I've got a couple of people that are doing the Patreon payments. I got a couple of advertising things coming down the line, but these videos and the content I make and the broker course and all that stuff is free. You know what I mean? It takes time out of my day. So it's only free to you guys. It's not free to me. So if I don't have time to answer you on Facebook or an email or something like that, don't give me a hard time. Like, don't, because it takes advantage of it. But like John was good, because when he was asking me questions before, he's just like quick little one sentence thing. I give him a quick little one sentence answer while I'm working, and then just keeps going like that. It's super smooth. And that's the kind of conversation I'll have. But then again, I just stop answering when I'm too busy. And it's sad that I even have to say that, because the content I make is free. Yeah, you can win a gift card if you sign up for Patreon, but I'm not requiring it for you to watch my videos. You know what I mean? And any way that would cost you money is completely voluntary. You don't get anything extra besides like a t-shirt or anything like that for it. But every single day there's a package delivered. Before it used to rain. Now the rain is done. So now we can just get packages every day. But all right, let's see. William said OTR. Yep. Josh said, what's up, buddy? You're running late today. I think I'd be friends with you. I got a bunch of jokes, but I'm not going to say them because that's inappropriate. But Mike said, would you consider calling a prospect or emailing them once a week too much? I don't know. I know people. These are people who have not shipped yet. I don't want to bug them too often. Like I said, I got a 3-strike rule, bud. So like I quote, if they confirm it, that doesn't count as one. When there's correspondence back and forth, it doesn't really count. But if I send an email and they don't respond, if I do that 3 times and they don't respond to any of those, I don't work on it anymore. You're just wasting your time. And you say, well, it doesn't take any time to send an email. It does. Just it's a resource that you could be spending elsewhere. That's just me. You know, they already have your information, you know. And maybe I'm a bit different in that regard, but yeah, I do it, you know, once a week. So like if I send a quote on Monday, well, take it back. When I'm doing like true cold calls, like when I had to do cold calls, especially when I was like training people or anything like that, and I'd have to actually use the phone and cold call, it was the same thing. And I say the same thing. I call, try to get through to them. If I can get through to them on the phone, great. If I have a conversation, they tell me to call back later. That doesn't count as a contact. Well, it counts as an initial contact, but it doesn't count as, you know, what's going on is the lady who lives across the street, her little baby's playing with a freaking car alarm. I guarantee it. You guys, I don't know if you can even hear that, but it's annoying the crap out of me. But yeah, I don't count like a contact as like an attempt to get someone on the phone. It's just, I've never done that. I count that as an attempt to get someone on the phone. And if you call and they don't answer, or you just get the runaround, and or if one time you call and you say, hey, can I speak to your shipping manager? And they're like, yeah, well, Joe's not in today. And then you call back and you say, hey, can I speak to Joe? Because now you already have his information, because they said Joe's not in. And they're like, yeah, Joe. And then you talk to Joe and Joe's like, I'm the business development manager. Tony's the warehouse guy. And no, you can't talk to him. He's busy. And hangs up on you. Now I would be like, okay, now you cross off Joe. He's not the contact. You have Tony. So you call back later on a different day. Don't call back the same day, because they're probably all sitting there having lunch laughing at you. Call back again a different day and say, hey, Tony, I'm blah, blah, blah. I'm trying to get it. And if he says, all right, yeah, shoot me an email, I'll get back to you. So there's your contact. That's where the contact's made in the sales timeline. Then you send an email. I do 3 strikes from that point. So if I send an email and I get no reply, that's one. If I send an email and I get a reply back saying, oh, your rate's too high or rate's too low, doesn't count. You know, so if I send 2 emails with no reply and the 3rd email, when I'm finally getting ready to write them off, he's like, hey, let's book that load. That's where, you know, obviously I'm going to book the load. You know, or if he sends back a quote at that time, everything just resets. And that's what I do in my head. And actually the software that we built to use for the dispatching side, that's the same way we did it. We did it the very same way, because we wanted to have that pipeline going the same way. But sorry, I'm still working, guys. I got to check my email and all that stuff as they come in. All right, let's skip this. Well, I answered it. I think I answered that, so I'm not skipping it. But Lamar said, you mentioned rebuilds for LTL. Can you expand on that? And what was the reason you stopped LTL? Because I like I said, I, I stopped working for Global Trans, started working for somebody else. I took a paid position, I think, as a logistics manager or something. I don't remember why, but I just stopped. My customers stopped shipping because of rebills. So basically, a rebill is when a customer goes in. Global Trans system was awesome because I didn't do anything. I didn't. If you guys have the opportunity to become a Global Trans agent, read your contracts really hard. They're going to, even though they say, oh, yeah, you're getting 50-50, you're getting about a 25-75 split with them because of all the fees and the bad debt and rebills and escrow and all that. But it's still a super easy sell if you're a salesperson. You don't know if you're going to like the brokering side because all you do is you take their little a tablet, you put your software on it, you go to a shipper, you knock on his door and say, hey, what are you paying for that pallet right there? What are you paying to ship that? And he's like, oh, we got great rates with Pitt, Ohio. And you're like, oh, yeah? And you put that, where's it going? Okay, where's it delivering to? Okay. And then you see, oh, your rate at 20% is $50 higher than what he pays. So you lower your percentage down to 5% or 7%, whatever, just to beat the rate. You get them and you say, oh, well, with our contract rates with Pitt, Ohio, you're at, you know, $20 cost savings per pallet. And then imagine if you ship 20 pallets a day, that's $400 a day. You ship blah, blah, blah per month. That's a shit ton of money that we could save you by switching us. Boom. And then you don't even close the sale. What you do then is you just say, yeah, and you know what I did? I got to run. I got another meeting. Here's your login information. Check it out. Run some rates yourself. Contact me if you're interested on your business card. I had like a 70% closing rate on getting new clients that way. Because for one, they wouldn't even do anything. They'd send me an email and say, yeah, can you set us up with a credit account? I'd submit it to corporate. They come back and they'd set up. They already know how to do the system. So it was a super easy sell, but the commission side sucked. And that's why I didn't, do it. But the rebuild. So basically if a customer goes into that system and says, hey, I'm shipping an engine that's class 50. If you don't know about classes, I'm not going to talk about it in super detail because it'll take forever. But every item has a freight class that's assigned to it in the NMFC, blah, blah, blah. So like an engine is class 70. I remember that always, you know, and you get in different ways to ship an engine. Class 70 should be banded and palletized and shrink wrapped and fluidless, essentially. That's 70. But if they put that as class 50, which would have a lower value because basically it takes the density of the freight and how much it's worth and all that stuff, and that's how they figure out the class. If they put it as class 50 and 250 pounds, the rate's going to be lower than if it was at class 70, unless they're on an FAK, so they take 50 to 120, you know, for the NMFC or the freight class. If they have an FAK, then they're judging everything from 50 to 70 or 75 in one class, and then from 75 to 100 in one class, and from 100 to 125 or whatever. See, I told it, LTL is complex, and that's why I'm running through it quick. But basically, if you ship something at class 50 and it's 200 pounds, and then the carrier, which they have the right to do it, it's in their tariffs, says, oh, wait, they're shipping an engine at class 50. An engine is class 70. I'm going to give a rebill. I'm going to rebill it to what it would actually cost for the engine to ship at class 70. Plus, then I'm going to charge a rebill fee. And then what Global Trans did, too, is they charged a rebill fee to the customer, which meant that I had to eat it because the customer is not going to pay a rebill fee from us, from the carrier, plus a rebill. They're just not going to do it. So I would always have to eat those fees. And it just, there were so many fees. Like I broke it down. I made a crap ton of money. But at the same time, I was at like 25%. So it wasn't, to me, it wasn't worth staying there. But their system is still, I haven't ever found a system that does LTL like theirs that you can, as a salesperson, you can go and sell it very easy. But that's one way to rebuild. Another way is if you put, and this happens to carriers all the time, especially just from a regular broker. Customer tells me a shipment weighs 5,000 pounds. Carrier goes to pick it up and the bill of lading says 8,000 pounds. That, it's different for us because then the carrier would call us and say, hey, listen, this shit's 3,000 pounds heavier. You got to pay me more. It's different with LTL because they don't tell you. They just say, because then you have the chance to say, no, I can't pay you more. You go to your customer and say, hey, this is heavier. You know, they just weighed it or they have a scale or, you know, the bill of lading that the shipper is giving, it says a different rate or a different weight than what you said. LTL carriers, they say, nope. They take their little pallet jack, wheel it on there, slap a pro number on it. They bring it into their warehouse and either their scales have or their pallet jacks have little weights on them or the I literally take it off the truck, put it right on a scale, weigh it. It's automatically tendered in as it comes off a truck. And the system rebuilds automatically. It's quite amazing how it does it. But so if it says, you know, in your paperwork, if it says it's 500 pounds and then on the scale, it says it's 700 pounds. You're getting a big rebill. And whatever they rebill is based on their tariff. So every carrier is different. But you're getting a rebill plus a rebill fee plus, you know, all the other fees that happen. So we would have like rebills where a customer would book something at, like, say, an engine. They'd book it at class 50. They'd say it weighs 500 pounds. Then the rebill comes in. The thing is 790 pounds and it's class 70. And so there you get a rebill for the weight. You get a reclass. So there, I mean, it's a rebill and a reclass. And then you have all the other fees that they associate. There's all, and rebills in LTL are everything. So if they go to make a delivery and they wait for over a half an hour, that LTL carrier is out of there. Or they're going to send you a detention notification where you got to pay them like $50 every 15 minutes just to sit there. It's in their tariff. You can't do anything about it. Like when you have appointments and stuff, it's not good for LTL. But the, you know, so the typically they'll leave. And if they go to a delivery and they knock on the door and nobody answers it because they're in the bathroom taking a crap and the truck driver leaves, they charge you to go back and deliver it. It's not like, oh, you didn't wait a second. It's that's all they do. They don't call and say, hey, where's this guy? I had people charge rebills for this was the stupidest part. I had a customer that shipped to a warehouse that was in like Idaho or something like that. It was in the boonies. But the very next store was the UPS terminal. So they used to drive by, and if they didn't see his truck in the, and because he got so many packages all the time, if they didn't see his truck in front of his place, they would just keep driving, mark it that nobody was there, and then and my customer would get a rebuild all the time. So finally, he had to put a big sign out in front, and he would like shine a light at it or something when he was there, even if his truck wasn't there. It was funny. He was so mad. But he had thousands and thousands of dollars of rebills, and you can't fight it. There's nothing you can do. You can challenge a rebill, but it's you don't win. I've never won a rebill challenge ever. And I had rebills left and right. I probably, for every 10 loads I'd book, one would be a rebill all the time. And it's and basically, as soon as I had a rebill, because LTL too, you know, when you're moving a full truckload, say you're moving at 10%, you move a $1,000 load, you make $100. LTL, it doesn't really work that way. You're moving at higher percentages. You're at 20 or 30 or 40%, but you're moving loads that are $100, $200, $300. So as soon as those rebills start happening, you end up spending more time dealing with the freight. And then then you actually see, oh, wow, this sucks. I'm not actually making money because now I'm spending all this time and it's just chewing up like the $20 profit I made on the load. And then if you're an agent, you have to split that $20 profit with another company. It really sucks. But no matter what, if you're a little independent guy, you're not going to be able to buy the pricing that some of these guys have. There's another thing you can do, like Mike, you know, who and the people that already have an active authority, go sign up to be agents, because you could still do that. Global Trans used to allow you to move all your full truckload through your brokerage and all your LTL as a white labeled solution through them. So it would still say Mike's freight brokerage or any of that stuff on the paperwork, but it was just billed through Global Trans and you just direct your customers that way. Or if you have good credit and all that stuff, set up an account and then white label it that way. You know, they'll do it. I know, because I used to have my biggest account was a broker. They just couldn't get LTL pricing. So they used us. I put them at 15% or actually 12.5% straight from the get-go, told them you're 12.5. This is it. This is what rate you're on. Rebills are all on you. They're fully paid back to you and I won't take a fee on the rebill. And they signed up, and I remember because they were Hasidic. When it was busy and like their busy season, they used to ship that, I don't know what the hell it's called. I'm not going to try to say it. It's like big, it looks like cardboard, but it's like bread or something, matzah or whatever. They would ship that all over. So they would ship it to like, you know, big distribution centers out of these warehouses. I remember the first time they did it because they were like, we're going to be really busy. You got to extend our credit and all that crap. And I'm like, okay, because they had like 50 grand in credit. So they're like, yeah, we need $200,000. And I went home, I fell asleep, I woke up the next day, and they had booked 500 LTL loads and used up all their credit. And that was fun because because that single day I made like $7,000 in profit. And that just shows you the loads. You don't make a lot in LTL, but yeah, I know LTL because I've worked with it for so long and I like selling it. It's hard, but it's hard and easy. Because think any place that has a loading dock, they're getting pallets one way or the other. You know, because you know freight brokers will encounter people that only move LTL. If I call a customer now as a full truckload broker, I call a customer now and he's like, yeah, I ship LTO. Can you ship? I say, no, chalk them right off our list and don't work with them anymore. Unless it's like, you know, I think there's bigger business there. And then I can set them up through our system with LTL, but then I got to learn how to do it and all that crap. And I just, I don't want to, but yeah, there, that was a really long answer for you, Lamar. Hopefully you like that. Yeah. I'm going to answer these questions in a second, but first let me tell you about something that's exciting. Our Amazon gift card giveaway. No, I'm not going to do it again. If you want to sign up for our patron to support us because you like it, you like the videos, you like what I'm teaching, you like my energetic appearance and whatever, sign up for patreon.com/freightbrokerlive. You can choose anything. You can make your supporter amount whatever you want. Even if you do a dollar, you're still going to be entered for one of the three gift cards we give away on the 10th of every month. Your call. You can do it and win a gift card, or you cannot, and then you're just showing me that you like getting free stuff, meaning the advice. But that, I mean, that may come to an end eventually too. Not for a long time, but let's see. Mike said, is a freight broker industry more difficult? What the heck is going on? It literally sounds like a car is like crashed outside my house. Mike said, is a freight broker more difficult now than when you started in the industry 10 to 15 years ago? No. I mean, like I said, I was in a different segment. So I focused a lot on LTL because when I started as a broker, I was a carrier first. And I started as a broker as out of overflow for my carrier side. And I only did LTL on with my trucks. The only time I did full truckload was when I was doing backhauls back from like Massachusetts or Maine to Jersey. Most of the time I just came negative. Sorry if you guys hear that. I am thirsty again. Which is ironic because I'm drinking 2 gallons of water today, or I've already drank two, well, almost two full ones, and I'm still thirsty all the time. But, yeah. So what's it? But yeah, I don't think it's easy. It's any harder. I think there's a lot more of us. There's a lot more brokers out there. There's a lot more people that are sitting around and. If there's a lot of people that are watching my videos and saying, you know, like this guy, I need to be a freight broker. And because it's not necessarily the hardest thing to do and you can make good money and you don't have the cash outlay of being a carrier or, you know what I mean? Or, you know, opening a franchise or something like that. You know, there's even easier ways. Become a dispatcher, you know, then you don't even have to buy a bond or anything like that. As long as you do it right, you know? And a lot of people are going to be like, oh, my God, he just said become a dispatcher. Dispatchers suck. They're scum of the earth. So are brokers, blah, 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 blah. Dispatchers need – people need to hire dispatchers. It's common, you know, common sense. You know, if only there are a way to bundle like an accounting software, some analytical software, and a freight dispatcher all in one. See what I did there? If you're watching, you know what I'm doing. Coming up sometime soon, I'm going to be making a video on that. But all right, let's go back to these questions. But yeah, it's not any more difficult, in my opinion. It's the same business. You just got to learn how to be comfortable with it. You know, it's changing. Is it going to be the same in 10 years? Probably not. I think tech is going to take over everything. Everything. If there isn't everything is going to be different in 10 years. But from 10 years ago, no. Tech is more prevalent now, and that's what everyone's freaking out about, is the automation and all that stuff. I think it's great. You guys know that from all my videos. I think automation's great. I hope to be at the forefront of it with some sort of partnership or something with someone, or I may just give up and develop my own damn thing. I have this idea for the app and all this crap. You know, maybe I'll tell my wife, hey, sorry, I made all the money for the house, but instead I'm going to go develop an app and we can buy a bigger house. Who knows? You know, I've done it too many times before where I spend money on places I shouldn't. So, but yeah. Patricia Coleman said, is it a common issue to run into scam freight broker training classes or schools? I'm here in Texas. Absolutely. you want to know, Patricia Coleman, this may be the first time you've watched my video, but I'm going to tell you, I'm a firm believer that anyone out there right now who teaches someone how to be a freight broker is a scam. And you can mark my words, let the cease and desist letters start rolling in. I don't care. Anyone who's teaching a program to be a freight broker, that's not me, or that's not doing it completely free, is scamming you. That, and ask them how many years have they been a broker. That's it. Point blank. And ask them to verify it. That's it, you know? And then you'll weed them all out, because people will be like, yeah, I've been a broker for 15 years. Oh, yeah, what companies? Who are you a broker with? Let me find that out. You want to teach me, and you want me to spend my money on you being a broker. And you'll get some people that will give you long-winded answers that'll have nothing. It's like that. I keep referencing that video on YouTube where it's like, how much does a freight broker make? The guy talks for four full minutes about how much a freight broker makes. And you know how much a freight broker makes, according to this guy? As much as you put into it. What kind of answer is that? Those are the kind of people that are teaching these courses. Matter of fact, that guy is one of these people that teaches the course. It's silly. That's the whole reason why I did my free freight broker course, because I used to be one of those guys selling the course and bringing on people. And then I realized I couldn't teach people the way I wanted, because they had this need to, for one, they wanted to get their money, and or, you know, they wanted to make back the money they spent on the course and all this stuff. So now with this course, if you guys sign up to become patrons, that's awesome. You're helping me out. But I'm still doing a course. And you'll still be able to get a very firm understanding of the business. And then what do I get out of it? I'll probably, for 50 people that are signed up, I'll probably have 10 that use some sort of referral program or something. Use us for factoring. Use me for, you know, build a website or content delivery or sales leads. Or just may Steve say, hey, Steve, I want you in my wheelhouse. What, you know, what? How can you help me? Blah, blah, blah. Help me help you. But, and so I know I'm going to make money off of it in the long run. That's the whole reason it's free, because I don't need to charge anybody anything, you know? And that's the thing that blows my mind, is you got people out there that are doing these heavily referral programs, or mailbox money, as they talk about all the time, that are sitting building up a program all the time to say, okay, this is, you know, you're going to do this. Day one, we teach you how to be a carrier. Day two, we teach everything there is to know about dispatching. Day three, boom, you're a broker. It doesn't work that way. I tell you what, my course is going to be 6 weeks. Good luck, guys. 6 weeks. And you're going to leave it and go, well, I learned a lot, but what did I learn? You're going to have an understanding of how to set up a course and all that stuff, or how to set up your brokerage and all that, but you're not going to be able to do everything. It's like I say, I'm learning new shit every day. I'll learn stuff in that class from you guys during live conversations and all that stuff. I do every day. You know what I mean? That's the thing. I learned about the steelhead factoring thing when they called me yesterday. You know, it's just different. Everybody does I'm not going to go off on a tangent about that shit again, but yeah, let's see. John said he looked at so many freight broker training scams, some real jokers. There's some bad ones. Maybe behind the questions. Patricia said, wow. I'm reading some of these comments. I'm keeping my opinions to myself, if you can't tell. I'm trying to tone it down a little bit. You know, tone down the BS. Try not to swear quite as much, because I don't want Sandy's getting mad at me. I don't want the other Don. Well, it's not. Hopefully, it's not you. The other guy that got mad because I don't even remember why. God, was it you? I wonder if it was you, Don. But Donald could have been. But Josh said, "Yeah, I cold called a bunch of shippers near me, and then every single one said if I do LTL, then they will use me, and I don't know, and I don't." Know how, so I had to lose that prospect. Yeah, I mean, LTL, we'll cover it, because I clearly, by my little blurb, I know LTL. I sold LTL services and sales for a long time. I know LTL quite a bit, so we'll cover it. It's just, it's something that you really need to, I mean, look at TQL. Here's a little insider thing. TQL does not have their own LTL pricing. They use Global Trans. They are an agent for Global Trans. Pretty much all these brokers that you hear are just agents for Global Trans, or these big other companies, or, you know, worldwide. I worked with one big company where we used Echo Global to do all of our LTL. And I worked as an agent for a company, and we used Worldwide Express, which is another broker, to do all of our LTL, just because it's not the wheelhouse, just like they don't do full truckload. Echo does, but, you know, and Yeah, they don't. And I worked for another company where they said, listen, try to not to use 3PLs, because when 3PLs start going downhill, meaning like when the Global Trans and the Echoes and the Worldwides and all that start losing their own customer base for whatever reason, the first group of customers they're going to go after are the customers of brokers, because those are customers who are shipping LTL already. There's no non-compete because you're giving them the work. So it's not, they can't not go after your clients. You're never going to get a big broker to sign a non-compete, non-disclosure, or back solicitation. They're not going to do it. But yeah. Yeah, I know LTL, and I liked it. You know, it's just, it's a lot more work for me. Don said he needs to be a broker. Everybody does. Everybody does. Josh said he's a super supportive buddy. Shoot that gift card right here, baby. Yeah. Well, whoever, I tell you, hopefully more people sign up, because I want a lot of people to sign up, because otherwise I, you know, my wife is like, what happens if you don't make back the $225 in gift cards? I said, well, this will be the first month I'm ever doing gift cards, or the first and last time I ever do the gift cards, because in all reality, I'm certainly, I mean, I make the videos for free and all that stuff, but I'm not making this content to lose my ass. So I can promise you that I'm not going to lose money on this venture. I like making the videos and I like doing all that. The gift card was an idea to build up stuff, because like I said, I already ordered the coffee mugs and all that stuff thinking it would be a big hit, because I watched too many YouTube videos where everyone's like, oh, 1,000 patrons in a night. I went from zero to $2,500 in supporter payments in 24 hours. And I'm like, all right, that's going to happen to me because everyone loves my content. Well, everyone loves free content. That is the catch. You ask someone to do a dollar or something like that, they have a coronary and they can't do it, which is sad. But that's a good carryover to this. Everyone is digging for gold. When everyone is digging for gold, sell shovels. So, and that's why I'm just making the free stuff. You know, eventually my course may be paid, or eventually I may not do it, or eventually I'll start my own tech firm, or eventually I'll join a tech firm, or maybe one day I will just say screw this shit and no longer be a freight broker. Who knows? You know, one day I may just, you know, I may go to Ireland and break my back and have to be in a wheelchair from deadlifting more than most people, but who knows? I don't really care. Donald said he has a trucking company. Well, you could do both. You could be a truck. You can own a brokerage. And that's how I did it. That's how I got started as a broker, is I owned a trucking company. And I was good at going out and getting sales. And I had customers that needed shit shipped. And I couldn't handle it on my truck. So the only logical next step was to become a broker. And so that's what I did. And then, you know, I quickly realized that, hey, I can make a lot of money without having the overhead from trucks by being a broker. Guess what? Got rid of the truck. And then, you know, went and my account was bought out basically, and I became an agent for somebody else. And then I started missing the trucking side, so I joined another company. And you know, and I floated around. So I went from having one truck or having a couple of six trucks, I think, with the first company, doing well, getting rid of those trucks, just becoming a broker, then closing the brokerage and becoming an agent, then going to work for a big national broker as a sales director, and then saying screw that, going to work for an agent again, which was a Global Trans, and then leave Global Trans and say, no, I'm going to start my trucking conglomerate, started a huge trucking company. And then that died. And then I started, you know, I've been a broker, or, and then firefighter, I've done a bunch, all within logistics, besides the whole firefighter thing. That was just like a kid living out his dream. I wanted to be a firefighter. So I did it until I realized I couldn't make any more, I couldn't make any money at it. I couldn't make a living being a firefighter. So I had to stop. But. Next. Donald said Shaggy has a broker class. Yep. I'm not going to do it. I think you're baiting me there, Donald Turney. Not going to do it. I may have already answered that question already, but you said, when will yours start? I will participate. Well, mine is full. So mine starts November 2nd, I think, is a revised date. And that's and you guys, whoever's in here that, or you guys watching on replay, the emails that I got afterwards, after I sent the emails out saying, hey, you're invited to class and all that crap, they're awesome. And I really appreciate like how awesome everyone was in those emails. Really appreciate it. Because it made me say, okay, me busting my ass to put all this together is a big help. You know what I mean? It was good. It made me want to do it. It made me want to like make the class like awesome. And you guys know it's a free class and it's the first one I've done this way. So it's, you know, we may, it may suck. You're going to learn a lot though, but whatever. But yeah. So, and then like I was talking about, so like the free consulting, free advice kind of stuff that I've been doing with people afterwards, like after my phone calls and all that stuff. So I'm going to put a stop to that. And I don't mean to be an ass to anybody, but it takes too much time. and you know, it's time I could be making money doing somewhere else. So if you have like a really short question or something like that, and you don't ask it in the chat, which I prefer you ask it during these live videos, which I do every day. If you've never seen them before, I do these every day. If make sure you like my page, if you're watching this later on a replay and it's in a group, make sure you like Freight Broker Live, or I think you have to search your favorite freight broker to get to my page. Make sure you like that page and follow it too, because I think if you follow it, that's when you get the little notification that I go live. Join the next class. But yeah, anyone who says, hey, listen, Steve, you've had success setting up agencies, why don't you come over and work for us? I'm not going to do that, but I'll help you set up your company for money. I'm not doing it for free. You need a website. Hey, I'll help you make a website. I'll help. It's going to cost you money, you know, and I'm not the cheapest. Some of you guys like kind of balked at the prices that I gave you for stuff. Well, I mean, look at who you're getting. That sounded conceited shit, but whatever. I don't care. What else we got? Josh said, for any of you brokers on here, call any produce company in Central or Southern Cali. As long as you do LTL, then you will get new customers. What? Oh. Yeah, but reefer LTL is hard. If that's what you're talking about. Reefer LTL is a whole different ballgame. I didn't touch that shit. But that's a whole nother segment of the industry. You know, when you talk about finding your segment, reefer LTL, that's a big niche, whatever. And there's not a lot of carriers. The money's a lot better because shit needs to get picked up and delivered. It's not quite as cheap as standard LTL. Because, I mean, you could ship a pallet from California to New Jersey for $100. I mean, just in case any of you guys don't know what LTL is, it's cheap. Cheap. Lamar Watts said, I mainly do LTL, and yes, the rebills drive me crazy. I've lost money and clients in the process. I'm trying to get more whole truckload business. Any pointers? Yeah, convert your LTL clients. If you already have LTL clients, you already have a customer base. Go back to those customers and say the same exact thing you just wrote in the chat. Say, hey, Mr. Client, I'm super happy you gave me those LTL loads, but listen, I'm also trying to get more into the full truckload business. What do you got for me? And guess what they're going to do? They're going to be like, oh, I didn't know you do full truckload. I've been using TQL to do full truckload. Let me give you a shot. I mean, you already have clients at that point. They may only have once or twice every month. They're not going to have it all the time, but that's work for you. You said, oh, crap. I guess that's about you missing the training. Well, yeah, you found me too late. I thought about doing like one-on-one trainings, but I'm not doing them for free. It takes too much time. It takes a lot of time to do all this stuff. But Maria said, hey, I can't wait for November 2nd. I'm really happy. Me too. Mike said, after making a good connection with a potential customer, what is the best way to follow up? Call them, email them, any skills you use? Yeah, I mean, everything. Call them, email them, you know. Use all the information that you picked up in your initial conversations to drum up more business. You say, hey, give me your loads. Like, I don't know. That's the same. That goes back into the whole cold calling and how many times you call and all that stuff. I think we actually had this conversation on the phone. Now, I'm not a big like follow-up guy. I mean, I have a 3-strike rule because I just move on to the next. That's the way I am. And I do that with clients. I do that with shippers. I do that with carriers. Now I do it with dispatching. I do it with everybody. You know, it's a way. Here's a question for you guys watching this later, especially if you're on replay. Any of you guys dispatchers, if you are actively dispatching trucks now, write a comment or something or say, hey, I'm a dispatcher. Because what I get is a lot of people that are contacting me, like 10 a day that are watching my videos and saying, listen, I would like you, Mr. Steve, to dispatch me because you are awesome and you're super straightforward. And I think it would be fun to work with you. And then I have to say, I don't dispatch trucks. So what I would like to do is build a partnership of people for free, no referral based crap, none of that shit, where I just kick it over to you and you can try to get the business. It would be along the same lines of a company that I recommend, but say, hey, you're kind of taking your own risk. But you guys dispatch or know anyone that does. And just so you know, in the 50 people that'll be taking the freight broker class, you guys will all learn to dispatch the way I dispatch. Because I think that's a segment of the freight broker industry now that everyone can go and make money from. You know what I mean? While you're building your book of business, you could take a truck or two on and dispatch them. As long as you keep it set up properly, you can dispatch a truck or two, make a couple $100 a week guaranteed while you're building your business. And then once you build your business up and you have your good clients, then you can tell the driver, hey, listen, I'm going to have to send you over to a dispatcher, a different dispatcher, because I, do my true calling as a freight broker. But yeah. Nate said he is. You're everything, bud. You're a freight broker, car broker, heavy hauler. You got a lot of skills there. But all right, what's up? Any other questions? Uh-oh. Wife of Shark Tank Kevin O'Leary charged with something that has nothing to do with Freya. I don't care. Oh, charged with that boat crash that killed a person the other day. I figured that was going to happen. Victor said he's looking to be a broker and or be a dispatch and a broker, which you can to start off with. Don't, I mean, because it's different. What's the right way to say this? I've had brokers not give me, when I was dispatching, business because they knew I was affiliated with a brokerage. Because they don't want to lose your client. You know? That happens it happens. And it doesn't happen that much, but it happens. Hold on, guys. I just got an email. I got to see what it says. So, God, I've been making this video for a minute, huh? Because I just got the bill of lading signed and they delivered that load that they were arguing about that no one's going to be there. And they called me so many times for. Well, they just sent me the signed bill of lading for that load. That's actually a really good carrier. They called, they let me know when they're loading. They let me know when they weren't loaded or, when they were delayed. They let me know, when they delivered immediately. I mean, they delivered 6 minutes ago and they already sent me the bill of lading on their own. So that's service. But their driver being an ass to me on the phone isn't. All right, what's going on here? So we answered your question. Nate said he is. And then Nate said he only dispatches open deck carriers. Well, yeah, flatbed and CDL hotshots, okay. Yeah, so you take the easy ones. Come on. See, that's a no-skill dispatch right there. I'm just kidding. I can tell you're laughing right now because you're like, he got me. I like to dispatch the non-CDL 25-foot hot shots, the ones that are a real challenge. You know, when you get them a load, you feel really good about yourself because you booked, you did the impossible. You found a little fake truck a load. Not as fake. I mean, it's hard to do. Victor said he's looking to become a dispatch and broker. Yeah, we covered that already, I think. Talas. I should make a video of me just pronouncing some of these names. You say you're a dispatcher and have a full office of dispatchers here. Let me know. We work with flatbeds, reefers, dry vans. What is your company? Terras. Put your company in the chat and your contact information. Or PM it to me if you want. Victor, you said that's one of your concerns. And it's true. It does happen. Because think about it. If you're booking loads for somebody else, you're technically under the same back solicitation agreement they are, because you are acting on their behalf. But I mean, you're acting on their behalf. Like I in my email right now, I probably have enough leads to get every new broker that's in this page or ever watch these videos enough business to last them a long time, because we dispatched out 100 trucks, essentially 100 trucks a day for a year. So guess what that did? Give me, 100 different Raycons every single day. I have all that information in here. But I'm not going to touch it. There was a guy on Facebook. God, damn, my back is itching. There was a guy on Facebook. Sorry, this is big man problems. When you're big, you can't itch your own back. And he's a box. But anyway, there was a guy that used to sell them. Yeah, I've never heard of DVL Express, Victor, or Taras, but yeah. So like there's some things that you have to have. God, my back is itching crazy. There's some things that you have to have. You have to have a power of attorney. I have been out of like those 100 loads, maybe once a week. So booking, you know, not just me, I didn't book 100 loads myself, but booking 100 loads and filling out carrier packets and stuff. If it was a new carrier and they're getting set up with a broker, especially the smaller brokerage, I would be asked for a power of attorney just to show that I have the legal authority to sign their paperwork. Now, a simple way that I would get away with, or what I would do now if I was going to build like a dispatch app, is I would build a program that would automatically take my PDF and send it to the driver, and he would have to like click OK, and I'd have his signature on file, and it would rubber stamp it right onto his Raycon. Because I've also had in the same time where I book a load for someone, I call them and say, hey, listen, I found a load for you. It's going from point A to point B. It's paying $1,600. You want the load? They say yes. They go, I get the Raycon. I fill out all the paperwork. I get everything done. I get the Raycon back. I sign it, send it back. And then at the same time, I send it to the broker. I would always, and that's the way we instructed everybody to do it, would always send it to the broker and the carrier at the same time. So that way, complete visibility, and they had each other's emails. And then I probably one out of 100 times, a carrier would cancel. I had a 3-strike rule with my dispatching company, and it was a very good rule. And basically, the first time you cancel it on a load, that was your first strike, regardless of anything, unless you're tired, you know, you crashed or something like that. But if you just canceled because you just a shitty driver, or just didn't want to take that load after you said you did, that was strike one. Did it again, that was strike two. Strike three, you didn't even know it was coming, because usually it was strike two and I got ticked off and I would dump you. Because I also spent a long time building my name in the industry. You know, I make the videos, I do all this stuff. I had the training courses, I had the freight brokers. I had everything going on at that time. So I wasn't going to let anybody screw up my name. And I was very vigilant with the dispatching side. And it was a good business. And, you know, I talked to some people. I talked to a lot of dispatchers, actually, pretty much on the day. Daily. And, you know, there's a couple of opportunities that it presented itself that it makes me almost want to get back into the dispatching business. And it's kind of the same thing. You know, I wasn't necessarily always a successful broker or successful business owner. It's kind of like the second or third time's a charm for me in terms of businesses. So I'm like, I've only had a dispatch company once, but what if I did it again? I scaled that son of a bitch quickly and very, very large into a very large enterprise. Imagine if I did it again now with the I know what, or how's that expression? If I knew what I know now, or whatever that expression is, I probably have a very good, very big, very profitable dispatch machine. But then again, it takes a lot of time. You know, well, let's all join. We got 24 people in here. Let's all 24 of us put in $5,000. We'll start a big tech firm. Anyway, next. Nate said, do brokers give dispatchers crap about dispatching multiple companies? No, I haven't heard that before. But like, for example, I use like a dispatch email. So when I was dispatching, it wasn't joeblowcarrier@gmail.com or for example, it wasn't like, you know, the ghlexpress@gmail.com. That's super unprofessional. Anyone who's talked to me, I'm big on branding. I want websites. I want all that stuff. I think it's very important to have an online presence. I mean, I do social media for a half quarter of my living. So it's very important. If you have a brokerage, have your dispatch company set up completely separate. You know what I mean? And you can be still shielded by, you know, the way I did is I had a brokerage as well. And then I had my dispatch company. On paper, my dispatch company was an agent for my brokerage. So everything was covered. You know what I mean? It doesn't work if you're an agent for a broker. You can't do that. Plus, you know, I wouldn't dispatch. But then again, like I said, you know, it's something to think about. If I keep hearing all these horror stories of carriers getting robbed and just not making any money or using shitty dispatchers who leave them stranded, and one lucky guy is just going to call me and say, listen, man, I really need help. I'm screwed. I need a good dispatcher. And I'm just going to say, all right, bro, hold on to your head. You're going to make a bunch of money and I'll dispatch him out. Because, you know, and I thought about it. It'd be easy enough, but I got a lot on my plate already. All right. And then you said DVL Express for you. I'll look you up after. But yeah, send me a message with your information. Hopefully you have a website. Because like I said, websites are a big thing for dispatching. You know, because everybody and their brother now advertises dispatching online. Like I like to say I was the originator of that way back like 2 years ago on Facebook. I used to advertise and be like, you need a good dispatcher, contact me. And then it became, you know, just too many damn dispatchers all the time. And then all the girls started coming out and dispatching and be like, you need a dispatcher, call me. And they don't even know how to dispatch. Half of them, there's no girls that even work for them. Some fat old guy with a stretched out t-shirt. But yeah, whatever. I just, there's so many different reasons for my reason to get out of dispatching. As much as I just said it would be fun to get back in, I just remembered why I got out. And that those are part of the reason why I got out. But, oh, crap. I just screwed up my perfect spread of my webcam here. Because I had it spread in between both screens, but now it's not going to work the right way. All right. At any rate, guys. So what do we got? We got any other questions, comments as I'm getting ready to wrap this thing up here? I'll give it a second. So as you guys know, and I'll say this for the end, I currently have a gift card giveaway. So you can either win the chance for a $100 Amazon gift card, a $75 Amazon gift card, or a $50 Amazon gift card. And you run the chance of getting or winning a gift card every month. I'm doing a drawing. Basically, you got to sign up on Patreon. If you go to my website, which is www.freightbroker.com, I forget my own damn website, freightbrokerlive.com. Click on the upper left. It says become a supporter, and you can I did, Nate. Here's your question. I'll go back to my plug in a second. I did all my compliance. I'm not a big fan of outsourcing stuff to other people. I did everything myself. My driver packets. So basically, I didn't have my driver qualification files at the time as my new, when I had my new safety entrance audit or whatever, I didn't have anything done. The only thing I did do was drug test because I felt like I needed to, where I was picking up my employees from, I needed to drug test them to make sure they were okay to drive commercial vehicles. Not because DOT said I did, because it was an interesting area and I needed to make sure everything was good. But I didn't really have anything else in place at all. And so the state police in Jersey, the DOT people, they called me and they're like, yeah, we need to do your random. And they're like, oh, we're doing a hotel, blah, blah, blah. They wanted me to bring a truck and shit. And I'm like, can you just come to the office? And they're like, you have an office? And I'm like, yeah. Like, how many trucks do you have? And I said, I've got 6 right now. And they're like, well, on MCS 150. And I said, yeah, but if you check it tomorrow, it's going to be changed already because I had already updated everything per insurance. But so, yeah, when they got there, I just did my research. So they gave me, I think it was a 48-hour notice. So basically, I already had everything that I needed because I bought those J.J. Keller packets. It's like $20 and it gives you every single form that you need when you sign somebody up as a driver. So I bought one of those for $20, or I already had them in the office. So I just, my drivers all came in. I made them fill it out and, you know, have it all set, said and done. All the logbooks and all that shit, I already kept because I knew what I knew what I was doing. So I kept all the logbooks. They weren't even in order. Like, so I spent the next, well, actually I didn't. I made the girl that worked for me sit there and put all the driver, because basically the logs, when the drivers came in every day, they took their log and all their paperwork and just threw it in a box. And then the girl would go through it every day and then separate the logs, throw those in another box and take all the paperwork and start imaging it in, scanning it in. And then, so we had like 6 months of logs. So I made her go through and choose the past like 2 months and kind of organize it and then to staple all the drivers. But that, and Nate, the way I learned is I'm an online guy. I read, I pick shit up that way. I figure out what I need to do and I do it. I don't, to me, it's a lot easier to pay someone to do it yourself. And I'd rather get to the point where I know too much, if that makes sense. I do. I want to know as much as I possibly can about the industry. So I read it all the time. You know what I mean? And I slowed down because at that time I was a carrier. So I was reading everything about becoming a carrier, pre-trip inspections, CDLs, going to CDL school, you know, doing all that stuff and making sure drivers were good, drug consortium, all that stuff, getting all that stuff situated. And I didn't even know, you know, it's kind of amazing. That's the same way I taught myself to broker. I didn't learn to broker going to a school or working for another company. I learned to broker on accident by myself. And that's I think that's what makes me pretty unique. But yeah, that's it. But anyway, like I was saying, if you guys want to support, if you like my video and you've been watching and you haven't already signed up for Patreon and you've been watching for the entire, hour and a half that I've been making the video, then you need to go to Patreon and sign up because that's just rude. But go to patreon.com or it's patreon.com/freightbrokerlive. Sign up for one of the tiers. Most of you guys already did it. Most of the people that have commented recently have already did it. I am going to make a fancy little thing and it's going to show your name with like stupid little balloons and shit. But I haven't got it yet. But it helps me if you guys sign up. And if you signed up for a little bit, you want to do more or whatever you can, or if you really like a video one day and you're like, ah, this fucking Steve guy's awesome. I'm gonna send him $100 right now. I am not gonna object, and there's ways you can do that on that Become a Supporter tab on www.freightbrokerlive.com. All right, guys. Hey, so with that said, I'm going to figure out how to end this new software because I don't really know. But I'll figure it out. You guys have a good day. I'll talk to you tomorrow.